And on that cheery note, my friends, we find ourselves on Kaf Gimel Amud Aleph 23a. You know, it's like, I don't know if you've ever heard that song. It's a piyut, Kadyasin Yisrael. It says, Kadyasin Yisrael, says the Mishach. So it says
Rabbi,
that.
23a, forgive me. I thought we were
Oh,
22.
sorry, 22b. 22b. We get to 23a. I was speaking aspirationally. We will be there soon, God willing. But it says in the Piyut, the Mishtach and Sarah Dilhon, they forget their own tsaris, the Askin Bechadbasadili, and they involve themselves in my precious thing in the Torah. So hopefully this should give us some escapism. All right. We find ourselves on Chuf Beis on base on 22b. We are up to the words which should see Lassa Meruba Mechamasa. So this is two dots. It should very clearly be delineated in the art scrolls if you're using it or whatever Gemara you're using. It's a new section. So in our Mishnah, it told us something that may sound familiar from the first Mishnah in the Masechta, which is that when there is a majority of shade, then it is kosher. What's the implication? Hakihadadi psula. The implication is, but if you don't have a majority of shade, if you have only 50-50, then the sukkah would be puzzle. However, v'hatnan be'idach pirkin. Don't see that every day. But didn't we learn in the previous chapter, right, in the first Mishnah, u'shekamasa meruvet silasa, that when you have a majority of shade, the sukkah is puzzle, which, what's the inference we can draw from there? That means 50-50 would be kosher. So we have conflicting implications from the first mission of Masechta and our current mission right now about whether 50-50 is kosher or pasul. So what is the resolution in the Gemara? Lo kasha. I have to give shiur right now, sweetie, but I'll play with you soon. If you go to bed, I just have to teach, okay? Everything okay? Okay. Oh, you got bath time, Ty. Okay, thank you, everyone. So the resolution is lo kasha, kamila mala, kamila mata. So the difference is, are we talking about 50-50 on top or 50-50 below? What do I mean by this? We'll explain according to Rashi, and then we'll go on a field trip and we'll learn Tosfos. So Amar Rav behind Amar Inchi, just like what people say, kizuz mil'il and kisra mil'tachas, like a zuz coin on the top and an istara on the bottom. I have a question, guys. What's bigger, a zuz or istara? Well, if you don't know, don't worry, because apparently it's debated between Rashi and Tosfos. So we're not the only ones who have some ambiguity on this matter. But let's explain the Gemara according to Rashi, and then I'll explain according to Tosfos. According to Rashi, we're not so much concerned with the schach itself. We're concerned with the result that the schach produces. When you are below on the ground, you need 50% shade at very least. But the thing is, if you look on top and you have 50% schach and 50% air space between them, 50-50, then the way light works is that the light is going to expand outward. And so you don't actually have 50-50 on the bottom, because since light spreads out, 50-50 on top would not be sufficient. Toby.
How do you know though? I mean, what's on top you can measure, you can see it's fixed. But as the day goes on, as the weather changes, it could be cloudy, it could be different, from 1 hour to the next.
Yeah, the way I think we generally assess it is, if you imagine the sun is out and it's right above the sukkah, what would it produce? That's basically the scenario we usually use to assess it. Imagine the sun on a clear day is right over the sukkah. What's it going to look like? So
But
Rashi's
if the reality is different, that doesn't matter.
well, I think the test case is the most most extreme case against us, against koshering the sukkah, making the sukkah kosher. So any other alternative scenario, there would only be less shit, only less sunlight in the sukkah, because I think the way we assess it is on a sunny day. So we are looking at the worst possible scenario, vis-a-vis the kashrus of the sukkah, and asking on a very sunny day what will it look like on the bottom. And if it's it passes on a very sunny day, then any other scenario it only gets better, right?
Yeah,
So,
I'm just wondering, what if you never get a chance to test it? Like, what if it's raining when you're building the sukkah? It's raining at the, I mean, like
it's a
there's
good
no
question.
sun.
So according to Rashi, I mean, what we do know from here is that 50-50 isn't kosher. But it leaves an interesting question open. If for Rashi's interpretation of the Gemara, it's not so much about the schach as in as much as the shade that the schach produces. Well, even if you have 51% schach, I don't know. Maybe 51% isn't good enough because maybe you'll have more than 50-50. And that maybe that's true according to Rashi. If we take Rashi's logical conclusion, maybe, I don't know. I don't know the precise numbers. Maybe I need 60% schach on top to produce 50-50 on the bottom. But basically, for Rashi's point of view, the point is, what does it look like on the floor where I'm sitting, not what does it look like on top. And so the way Rashi reads the Gemara is that a zuzah is smaller than an istara. So a zuzah is like a small, it looks like a small coin up there, but by the time it comes down, it's a bigger coin. That's Rashi's read. Tosvos has a completely different take on it. Tosvos has two questions against Rashi's interpretation. This is Tosvos, Dibur Maaslo, Kezuzah, Melchil, Kisr, Meltachas. Question number one Tosvos raises is that if you look at the Amor and the Gemara, who is it? Who's the rabbi over here who's explaining this to us? Rav.
Papa.
Very good, Toby. Now, Rav Papa, Tosvos points out, the very same Rav Papa who's telling us this halacha here, that 50-50 is not good enough. He is the same Rav Papa in Maseches Eruvin on Tesvav Amid Beis, who tells us that in Dinei Eruvin, which for the millionth time we are drawing analogies to Eruvin, Haaretz Ka'omed, when you have 50-50 of Mechitza at versus airspace, 50-50 is sufficient. So how could it be that the same Rav Papa who says in Eruvin, which we know the halachas are often analogous, says 50-50 is good, could tell us that 50-50 for schach is not good enough? There's an inconsistency in Rav Papa here. That's question number one. Question number two is Tosos quotes a Gemara in Kiddushin, Yud Aleph Amud Beis, which basically just the point that they extract is that an istara is actually smaller than a zuzah. So how does that analogy work? That it's like a zuz on the top, which is small, and an istara on the bottom. Actually, a zuz is bigger than an istara. So how do we make sense of this Gemara, Tosa says? So this is the answer Tosa gives. If you want to look inside, you're welcome to follow me. It's Dibor HaMaaslo Kezuzah Mil'il Kisr Mi'atachas. We're smack in the middle of Tosos from the Farish Rabbeinu Tam. I summarized the questions outside. Now we'll look inside. The Farish Rabbeinu Tam. It's not actually, see, in Rashi's scenario, you were always standing on ground level. Tosos discusses, what if I assess, I can actually in two, it could be, I could be in one of two places. I could be on ground level, like Rashi is. Or what does milmala mean? Milmala means when I am on a ladder looking directly at the sky. For Tosos, it's not really about the result of the shade that is produced. For Tosos, it is about the intrinsic measurements of the schach. So if I am on a ladder, Tosos says, and I am looking at that schach, and it's 50-50 up close, that's good. Because we said, Haaretz Ka'omed is kosher. 50-50 is kosher, according to Rav Papa. And he doesn't contradict himself. What does it mean that if I am below, if I'm Itachas, I have 50-50, that's not good enough? Would that mean, Milmata, that's not good enough? That means if I'm standing on ground level and I look up and it looks like it's 50-50 from my ground level, you should know that it's actually smaller. You actually have less than 50-50 because when you stand further away from objects, apparently the optical illusion is that it looks like 50-50, but it's not really 50-50. What Tosa says, Tosa says, "Avoha understanding on ground level, ume'ayin klapin mala, and you're looking up the dome below kihadadi, and it looks like it's 50-50 from down below. Pesula, why is it disqualified? The airspace looks smaller from when you are below, but in reality, there is more airspace. So if it looks like 50-50 from ground level, you should know it's actually le it's actually more air than you think there is. But the fundamental difference between Rashi and Tosfos reading the Gemara is that for Rashi, the schach is a means to determining how much shade I get. For Tosfos, yes, the schach is meant to produce shade, but the way we assess its validity is not by looking at the result of the shade on the ground or lack thereof, but by looking at the literal measurements of the schach. And Toby, even in a case where maybe there is more sunlight in the end of the day, that doesn't matter because it's a din of a mechitza. We use the same principles like in Erevin. If you have 50-50 parts ka'omed, it is kosher. This Tosfos, I believe, was the first or one of the first shiurim when I learned sukkah in high school. This Tosfos was one of the first ones. It was funny, right? We started the first parak, we turned directly to Chaf Beis and Beis here and learned this Tosfos. So, because you can imagine, the Gemara literally references our Mishnah. So you can't learn the first Mishnah if you're learning Be'ia without referencing this Gemara over here. So, all right, we just did day one of Shir. Very good.
Can't believe high school kids could understand this stuff.
I'm sure Yehiel's is doing
I'm sure he can. I can't believe any high school kids can understand this stuff.
it. Let's go back to the Gemara and get to the Mishnah. Ah, another really important Gemara. I guess my grandfather might be busy tonight, but this is a point that he brought up. My grandfather mentioned, do you need to see the stars through your schach in order to make sure it's kosher? Is a schach that's so thick that you can't see the stars, does that invalidate the sukkah? So I may have given too quick of an answer the other time he raised it, but there's a little bit more to the story. Let's see the Gemara. So it said in the Gemara, sorry, in the Mishnah, that if your schach is very thick that you can't see the stars, it's still kosher. And we have a braisa that elaborates on this a little bit. Okay, that I know so far. If the schach is so thick like a roof of a house that I can't see the stars, it's still kosher. Okay. But let's say I can't see the stars of the sun. What are the stars of the sun? Is a star? Rashi explains, Zerhu Rechama. I believe it's referring to beams of light. In fact, I'm curious if that's how Art Scroll renders it.
Rays of the sun.
Rays of the sun, beams of light. Okay, yeah, same thing. So that's what Rashi says. There's different readings. I think Rambam says that they refer to the Kochavim Gedolim at nighttime, the really big stars. But we go with Rashi. We go with Rashi, which is the standard reading, which it refers to the beams of light. Let's say there is so much schach that even during the daytime, not even a ray of sunlight can penetrate the schach. Absolutely shut out. Is it still a kosher sukkah? Bishamay posts, and Bishamay says that's a step too far. You may not need to see the stars, but you need at least a ray of light to crack through. Whereas Beis Hillel Mashhirin, Beis Hillel says it would be kosher nonetheless. Now, let me pause for a moment. I have a question for you. Is this Gemara telling us what to do lichatchila or bidyeva? If we look at the language, at the formulation of the Gemara, it's not actually instructing us what to do. It's saying if the schach is too thick, it's kosher. That is a formulation of bidyeva, post facto, saying if you accidentally made it so thick that no beams of light could get through, Beis Hillel says that's fine. I now bring to you, I should do this more often, my handy dandy Shulchan Aruch, and I'll tell you what the Shulchan Aruch actually passes. The Shulchan Aruch in Siman Tav Resh Lamed Aleph, Sif Gimel Paskins, Based on the Torah, etc. Derech hasichloch lios kal kadesh yirimenu hakuchavim hagedolim. Ideally, the schach should be light enough that you'd be able to see the large stars through it. However, that's lechatchila. That's if you are initially designing your sukkah and your schach, that's what you should plan for. B'diavad, ha'isamu'uva k'min bayis, if it's thick like the roof of a house, even though the stars cannot be seen through it, it will be kosher, just like Beis Hillel Paskins. Now, the Taz explains as follows. I'm not going to take you down the whole rabbit hole. I had some fun learning it over Shabbos, and the Shabbos, every time I learned something over Shabbos, I didn't have to, after Shabbos, underline everything. Let me take you on a quick tour of the Mefarshim on the page. The Taz comments on the Magen Avraham, sorry, on the Shulchan Aruch, which it really is more of a comment on the Beis Yosef and the Tor. The Tor actually says it should be, let me pull up the Lashon of the Tor. That's a nice thing. I got the Tor Shulchan Aruch, so I can flip between them. So the Tor says you should really make your sukkah that it's not so thick to the extent that you could see A, Kochavim, the stars, and B, the Tzotzei HaShemesh, the rays of light. So the question is, why did the Torah have to say both? It leads to Beis Yosef to say that's really the same shear, but many Mefarshim assume that it is easier to see rays of light cracking through the sky than to see entire stars through the sky. Yet the Torah seems to conflate them into a single measurement, which is what the Beis Yosef assumes. The Taz, again, who am I to judge between the Taz and Beis Yosef? But this, I found this to be a little bit more satisfying personally. The Taz says, "Lechatchila sarech sheyiru afilu kochvei laila." What the Torah is saying is, you have to really put a lot of art scroll in between over here. Ideally, lechatchila, the sky should be just light enough that you can see stars through it at nighttime. And bidiyeve, and then that's one way. The chiddush that you should even go so far to that extreme, and then the chiddush goes the other way. But let's say you didn't do it, even if you can't see the nitzotzei shemesh, it would be kosher bidiyeve, even if you can't see the rays of the sun. All that is to say is that there's a whole machlokus. You see, it's very clear from our Gemara what is true bidiyeve. Beis Hillel says bidiyeve, if it's completely shut out, it's kosher. But many argue, what is the mandate lechatchila? How far do I have to go? Though, one last little detail. What if it's so thick, not just that a ray of sunlight can't pierce it, but even rain can't get in? Remember, this might remind us of the first one of the first Tosafim we saw on Beis Hamad Aleph. What if it's so thick that even rain can't penetrate through the sky? That's even more. So the Magen Avraham quotes the Levush, who says that if rain can't get through, it is not kosher. Now, why is that so significant? So one idea is that maybe that's just too much like Gezeiras Tikra. It's too much like a real roof of a house. You'd say, what's the difference between my sukkah and my house already? It's the same thing. Though I saw in the Prima Gadim here, the Prima Gadim, he might be quoting someone else. I have to look more carefully. He says, Efshir dai b'cholasuk b'makom echad sagi. As long as there's even just a little bit of the sukkah that you can see through, that's okay. Sheyiskor mi bara elios gar ba'aretz, as it says, yoreach u'kochavim asher konenes. So maybe some would hold that even after taking this whole Gemara into account, maybe not your entire sukkah needs to be thin enough that you can see the stars anywhere. But at somewhere in your schach, it should be thin enough that you can see the stars. Why? Because the point, one of the reasons of the sukkah is to remember that God shielded us when we were in the desert, and we're supposed to remember who's in charge of the world. And so when you are in your sukkah, there needs to be at least some kind of hole in there so you could peer up and you can remember that it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu who is protecting. So that's an argument. Again, against even what seems to be the final psak in the Gemara. All I have to say once more that it's I made it sound much more simple than it actually is. This is why we learn Torah, because then we we challenge those assumptions. I assumed that it was just a very open shut mission on Gemara that you're skakking me as thick as possible. That might be true b'dieved. L'charchila though, that's one is supposed to strive to see the stars or at very least the beams of light through their skak. Okay, that was a short little piece of Gemara, but a lot of worthwhile exposition because I feel like seeing the stars through your skak is one of like the big questions people point out. You go to like a guest sukkah or something, you look up like, oh no, it's kosher. I can't see this the stars through here. Like, why do we even accept this invitation? You're right. So now you know the halakha. Okay. On to the next mission, my friends, on Baal Chabes Mabates. Right? This one is if you've ever learned sukkah, chances are if there's a mission you remember, this is one of them. It's I remember as a kid when we learned Mishnayos. You got like the picture book ones. It's like a Dr. Seuss book. So imagine you build a sukkah on top of a wagon, over a shasfina, or in a boat. Sheira, it's kosher. But olma b'yomtov, you could even go onto it on Yom Tov. Now, what's the chiddush? The chiddush is to contrast with the next line in the Mishnah. Barosha ilan, but if you build a sukkah tree house, ol gavi gamal, right? This is the top part where it starts feeling very Dr. Seuss. Or you build it on a camel, so then it is kishera. You could build a sukkah on a camel, the ain olam lo b'yomtov, but you're not allowed to ascend on it on Yom Tov, right? For the same reason, you can't go on any animal on Yom Tov or any tree on Shabbos and Yom Tov, right? Because you're gonna pull a branch off and use it as a whip. Okay. So in the next case here, again, we'll just do this outside. There's a little bit of machlokas Rashi Tosos. We're going to talk about using a tree to build a sukkah. There's two ways to imagine it. Either the tree is serving as like ground level a little bit, and you're building like a wall on top of the tree, or as Tosos understands it, the tree is forming one of the walls. So think of it like, you have like what do you call it? Like a hedge of bush trimmed there, using it as a wall of your sukkah. So Shai be'ilan ve'echa ba'atz be'ilan. If two walls are from the tree and one wall was artificially made, or Shai be'ilan ve'echa be'ilan, or two was made by you and one is just natural from the tree, it's a kosher sukkah, but you can't use it on Yom Tov, so not too helpful of a sukkah. Use on Chol HaMoed. Shalosh be'ilan, however, if three of the walls, right, three walls makes a kosher sukkah. Was made by bidei adam by man, but achas milam, one was made by and one is formed by the tree. Kishera, then you can use such a sukkah. Why? Zehaklal, going on to Chaf Gimel and Aleph. Kol shenita le'ilam v'yichol lama b'fnei atzma kishera va'ol la b'yomto. Because since a sukkah only needs three walls, we can disregard the fourth wall, and it's still a kosher one absent the tree. Therefore, you can use it on Yom Tov because it doesn't have a din of a tree house. Excuse me. All right.
Rabbi, I don't understand why it's okay to go in a wagon or a, what was it, a ship? I mean, we wouldn't go in a wagon or a ship on Yom Tov now.
Yes,
It might
yeah.
move. I mean, is the assumption that it's fixed to the ground or?
Yeah, so we're gonna have a case just in a moment, but you're right. In general, there is a gezeira. If one wants to go on a cruise, or back in the day,
Really?
on cruises for fun, people went on merchant ships. So in merchant ships, right, you're not supposed to go on 3 days before Shabbos. Since Machlokas, the Shabbos included in those 3 days. So is it Wednesday or is it Thursday through Shabbos? So we're going to see in just a moment. I think the case over here in the Gemara is going to presuppose the Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Gamliel were already on the ship. Let me just glance at Rashi. Yeah, I think the idea is that you're already on there, and that's why it would be okay. All right, so here's a story in the Gemara about two rabbis on a ship with a sukkah. Money, Masisa, so who is the Tana of our Mishnah? Rabbi Akiva, it's Rabbi Akiva, the Tanya. Post Rosh Hatzvina, Gamliel, post Rabbi Akiva, Mashir. So it's a machlokis, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is a Tana of our Mishnah who says you can use a sukkah that's on a boat. Rabbi Gamliel says, no, you can't. Maisa, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Akiva, show you buy in Bisfina. that they were traveling on a boat together. What do you know? The two rabbis who argue about whether you make a sukkah on a boat were traveling on a boat on Sukkot, as Hashgacha Pratis would have it. Amar Rabbi, or maybe that's Dafka when they have their machlokes, because of the circumstances, as we'll see. Amar Rabbi Akiva, Va'asa Sukkah Barosh HaSvina. So Akiva got up, and I guess prior to Yom Tov, he set up his sukkah, right, on Erev Yom Tov, he sets up his sukkah on the boat. Lamachar, the next day when it's Yom Tov, Nishba Ruach Bakarasa, a wind came and blew away his sukkah. Poor guy. Amar Gamliel, Akiva, Heicha Sukkasecha, where's your sukkah now? Right? It's almost like it reminds me of like Goliath when he says to David, you know, where's your God now? It's like, where's your sukkah now, Rabbi Akiva? Now, what is fundamentally wrong about a sukkah on a boat according to Rabbi Gamliel? Well, that you'll have to tune in for next week on Maseches Sukkah. I gave you a brief answer. Oh, we can do next week, sure. I don't want to leave you. Toby, you don't want me to leave you in suspense?
Whatever everybody else wants.
Well, okay, we'll do one more piece. Why not? Why not? A little more tone. Amar Rabbi. So here's the rationale for their machlokes. So I won't leave you on the cliffhanger. So in general, just to note for background, a sukkah on land, a standard sukkah, needs to be able to withstand a typical wind. Okay? If a hurricane comes and blows it down, that's not a deficiency in the sukkah. If a sukkah can't withstand standard winds, even if there's no wind blowing at the time, that's an inherent deficiency in its status as a kosher sukkah. But the question is going to be is, well, what about wind that blows at sea? How do we, you know, that's usually more difficult to deal with. So Amar Abaye, everyone agrees. Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Akiva both agree that if the sukkah cannot withstand land, regular wind on land, it is not a kosher sukkah. Yecho, and if it's able to withstand a standard, a non-standard wind on dry land, everyone agrees that that is very sturdy sukkah, which is also which is kosher. What is their dispute limited to? It's within this particular scope. Ki pligi, b'diachola lama beruach mitsuya diabasha, b'enecholama beruach, change the gears a little bit, beruach mitsuya diyam. You might have, I have a different gears in my Gemara, but the editors fix it up a little bit, which makes a little bit more sense, I think. That goes to Siyunim, quoting from Tosis, Russian, Ron, and others, which is, let's say it could withstand a typical wind on land, but it is not able to withstand typical wind at sea. Rabbi Gamliel savar sukkah diyars keva beinan ukiyam the inyan cholam abruch matsuya diyam lo klum hi. According to Rabbi Gamliel, a sukkah has to be a firm, established structure. If it can't withstand the wind of the sea, it's not kosher. Rabbi Akiva savar sukkah diyars arai beinan given the yachol am abruch matsuya diyavashuk share. Whereas Rabbi Akiva says, where do we assess a sukkah's legitimacy? If we were to assume it was standing on land, can it withstand the wind on land? If yes, it's a kosher sukkah because Rabbi Akiva only requires a diras arai. So that is basically their machlokes. Rabbi Gamliel has a higher standard. He is part of that school of thought of Tanaim who think a sukkah is a diras keva, a firm established structure, where a robust structure. Whereas Rabbi Akiva is of the school of thought that says a sukkah is a diras arai, a more temporary, flimsy kind of structure. Not too flimsy, but flimsy enough that, you know, a sea wind could blow it off. And that's the basis of their machlokas. All right. And I don't think we go any further. Otherwise, we'd have not much to learn next week. So we'll end there at the two dots. All right. Wishing everyone a wonderful Shabbos.
Thank
And,
you.
you know, God
Travis,
willing, we hear good news. All right.
Amen. Amen.
Take care.